I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hello, and welcome to an all-new episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. My name is Jared Habin, not joined today by Dean.
Should we take
Ungler.
Attendance?
Yeah, we should take attendance, because right now we're a little light.
Jared Habin.
Here.
Vanessa Grimaldi. Dean Unglert. Actually, this might be a better one when I say...
Bueller.
Vanessa Grimaldi. Oh,
gosh. Oh, that's a better one. As you guys have probably guessed, Vanessa will be on the line, but she's just taking a little break right now. She'll be back here in a second.
But she's we at have an airport? She's at an airport like she just landed?
Well, she just landed somewhere. I think she might be in New York now. I don't know if she's traveling from Montreal or to Montreal.
You know, I got to say, what she's doing right now, it's something she likes to talk about a lot. So, you know, with some people, this would be inappropriate to say, but she is using the bathroom, which she loves talking about. I have trouble after a long flight.
Using the
restroom?
I'm pretty
well stopped up for a while, yeah.
Well, there are a few things that hurt me more than using a public bathroom at the airport.
Amen to that.
It takes me about 10 minutes just to get the stall ready for everything. Because I don't just put toilet paper down. I put about 7 layers of toilet paper down.
Do you use the things they give you?
No, because that's the worst invention I've ever seen. Have you ever tried to use one of those plastic...
Yes.
Covers for the toilet.
Toilet seat cover, yeah.
They always rip.
Yep.
They're so flimsy. Mm-hmm. And like sometimes I feel like they get wet. They soak up the water from the toilet. Because no matter what public bathroom you're in, it's soaked. For whatever reason, people just can't use the toilet or the urinal or the sink correctly.
I always assume I'm using it wrong. And that's why I'm ripping it or doing it. Because I was never taught how to use those. And I'm always alone when I'm using them. So I must not know how to use these. But Sissany from the Seacrest show had a theory that flap...
Yeah, what the hell is that?
She thinks that's supposed to go over the front of the bowl to stop your underpants from touching the bowl.
No way.
No,
there's
no
way.
Right, not buying that.
Whatever company creates those did not invest that type of money for your underwear.
I think it goes in the water to ensure that it gets pulled down when you flush.
But that's disgusting.
Yep. Well, it's all disgusting, but...
I know, but when I can't... Like, when I see the flap, I'm like... All right, we're going to get a little bit TMI, but I think to myself, not only is that flap in the water, but it will be in the midst of also something that is entering the water as I sit down.
Do you feel badly for the paper?
No, but I just feel gross because then it's all connected, right? Because that flap is connected to the paper that I'm sitting on, and then, you know, my poop is going to be hitting the flap, and then I'll be sitting also on the other part. It's just...
I was
it's a
considering
lot to handle.
When I do that ripping thing and I rip the whole thing apart.
Yeah.
I wondered at one point in my life, am I not supposed to rip it? Is my natural bodily function going to rip it automatically?
Well, I think that's a theory you should test out next time you're traveling.
Yeah, should.
The holidays are around. I'm
I don't
sure
tend
you're going
to use
somewhere.
Those things. I think they're more trouble than they're worth.
So, do you use toilet paper?
I use nothing.
You just go.
Yeah, you think less of me now, don't you?
No, I respected you, and
Here's my thing. There's bacteria galore on that seat. It's only going to touch the back of my thigh.
True.
And I don't have any way of ingesting that bacteria into my body through my thigh.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lick the cover, the seat. I'm just going to sit on it. And so I've decided that's okay. I've rationalized it.
That's fair. I don't think that's crazy. Man, we're really getting some good content here, huh? Just talking about toilet seat covers.
I have found that
bathrooms.
Water attaches it to your rear end like a paper mache, almost like you know, like wallpaper.
Yes.
Like, and then it's just on there forever. I'm wearing one right now, actually.
You have about 7. I can see they're coming through your pants. Yeah.
Try her again, would you, Easton?
I'm trying her.
So we're currently calling Vanessa. Vanessa is traveling either to or from Montreal, as she does. Dean, have you seen his Instagram? He's traveling all around the world yet again. This man. I don't know where he is, but it's a beautiful location. Do you guys travel? Have you guys ever really traveled
not like
alone?
Dean. No, never really alone. I mean, a little bit for work.
Yeah, but have you ever just gone to a location by yourself?
Never.
I don't think I have either.
It takes a certain kind of person. And by the way, to say it, I respect it. I respect that kind of person.
I envy it.
Yes.
I wish I had that type of personality. I like going places, but only... A few years ago, first time I ever went to Los Angeles, I traveled by myself, but I had a friend here I stayed here with.
Yes.
And so I do travel alone, but I wouldn't say I travel to places and then stay by myself and then really just make friends on a whim. I don't think I have that type of personality either.
No, Easton, could you travel by yourself?
Oh, yes. I do lots of stuff by myself.
Where's the craziest? Well, hold on. There's a difference between doing things by yourself and traveling by yourself. Because like someone like Dean, I mean, he's traveling from country to country to country by himself and not meeting friends there. He's just going to these places on his own. On his lonesome.
I haven't traveled outside the country by myself, but I have, like, I used to live in Northern California. I would come down to Southern California by myself to see music, and I wouldn't meet anyone. I would just go to the show and...
Do you remember what type of music? Come on, Easton.
Well, there's this female rap group that I like quite a bit that no one else likes.
What's the name?
They're called The Millionaires. They were on a season of Bad Girls Club, I like The Millionaires quite a bit, and no one else wanted to go see them with me. So I came down to Anaheim and I saw their show and I took myself out to the ESPN zone and then I stayed the night in Motel 6 and drove home the next day.
Wow.
You gave yourself a nice little date night.
Yeah, it was
fun. I'm sure you well deserved.
Yes, I like to think so.
Nothing like a Motel 6.
Well, look what the cat dragged in.
Vanessa, we need some information. What airport are you in right now?
So I'm at LaGuardia.
Oh, New York City. Okay.
I thought New York.
And you had...
I love New York, but I don't... You guys know that I have, like, the worst luck when it comes to traveling. So, of course, my flight was delayed. I was hosting a radio show for Virgin Radio, which is part of iHeartRadio's family. And I, like, sped out of there. And, of course, my flight was delayed for, like, an hour and a half or 2 hours. We're just, like, chilling on the airplane for a 45-minute flight. So I'm just hanging out here talking to you guys before I have to head off into a cab and to my hotel.
It must have been an emergency to use the LaGuardia bathroom.
Mark, I told you I was stuck on an airplane for like 3 hours. So, yes, I had breakfast this morning and just needed to unleash the beast.
That brand muffin's
good. Do you use a toilet seat cover?
I squat.
Oh, she's a squatter. Wow. Even for that. Interesting.
Yeah.
Good. That is a lot of effort to put in to the bathroom. Just put a cover on it. Put some TP on there.
No.
I could see sitting.
There you go.
Squatting for number one is reasonable, I think. Squatting for number two, that's some thigh action going on.
That's a commitment.
That is. That's going to burn.
Not, guys, it's not that terrible because you go when you have to go. I'm not going for 15 minutes like reading articles. Actually, I did when you guys sent me the article to read today. I was like, okay, let me do
that. Well, that's a nice little segue to the article anyway. So Vanessa, we wanted to talk to you a little bit about the article that was released, I believe, on Us Weekly about Lauren Bushnell. Now, have you ever met Lauren Bushnell?
I love her. Yes, I have.
Okay. I've only met her a couple times, but she was very sweet.
She's very sweet. She was actually the first person I reached out to once Nick and I got engaged, and she was with Ben at the time, and we spoke on the phone, and she was very supportive and understood exactly what I was going through. And we kept in contact even after the breakup, and we've seen each other a few times.
So a quick backstory on Lauren Bushnell, for those of you who don't know. Lauren was on Ben Higgins' season of The Bachelor. She ended up winning. Ben Higgins and her were engaged for a little while before they called the engagement off, and Ben was The Bachelor prior to Nick, who's Vanessa was on that season, and Vanessa ended up getting engaged to Nick. So Vanessa, you're saying you reached out to Lauren Bushnell just for some advice to kind of figure out what was coming, I'm assuming?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay. Did she have any good advice for you?
Yeah, told me to cancel out all the noise, the outside noise.
I thought you were going to say, she told me to cancel the wedding.
No, she was very supportive. And so was Ben. We actually went on a double date. And that was the first time I met Ben. I love Ben.
Oh,
very sweet
Ben's
guy.
Great.
Lauren's a very sweet woman, too. Yeah.
But there was an article released about Lauren Bushnell. She is dating Chris Lane, who is a country singer, I believe. That's correct. Yeah, he's definitely a country singer. I was just asking the group to see if you guys
Chris
were
Lane
fans
singer,
at all,
yeah.
But apparently not. So Lauren Bushnell actually...
He is.
He's a good-looking man. I'm currently looking at a picture of him right now. Very good-looking man. And apparently Chris Lane was dating Lauren Barr before he started dating Lauren Bushnell. Now, Vanessa, do you know who Lauren Barr is?
Lauren Barr was on Ben's season of The Bachelor.
Yes.
And I'm not sure how far she made it on his season.
I'm not sure about how far she made it. I believe she may have been on Paradise 2. I don't remember exactly, but she was one of the many Laurens on Ben's season. She was known as LB.
Yeah.
And so apparently Lauren Bushnell, before they went public with their relationship, she reached out to Lauren Barr, who kind of talked about their relationship for a little while. So this guy, Chris Lane, has dated a couple bachelorettes, which is very interesting. So what do you...
Yo, I don't know if you... So I was in Nashville when it was right after we finished filming our season. I was in Nashville, and I saw him and Claire... I don't know her last name.
Oh, Crawley.
Yeah, Claire Crawley.
Hold on, so you're telling me that he's dated Lauren, two Laurens from Ben's seasons, Claire, and then did you say one more?
Oh, no, that's it. I think that's it.
Wow. This guy should just be on The Bachelor.
Yeah.
My God.
I think he just wants to be The Bachelor, but he's dating all the pretty ones.
I know.
Well, Lauren's a great person. I've never met Claire.
Claire's sweetheart as well. Lauren, yeah, I've met Lauren a couple times. Yeah. Super sweetheart. I think it was very nice of her to reach out to LB before they came out. So apparently, Us Weekly goes on to say Chris was dating LB, Lauren Barr, right before he was dating Lauren Bushnell. Lauren Bushnell called LB. God, there's so many Laurens, I'm already so confused. So let's get this right. So Lauren Bushnell called LB, also known as Lauren Barr, a couple days ago to tell her that they were together. So Lauren Bushnell called LB to say, hey, listen, I'm currently dating Chris. I know you guys used to date. We're going to go public with our relationship. Just wanted to give you a heads up. Do you think Lauren needed to do that, Bushnell?
Yeah, I think that's a noble thing to do. Also all depending on how close they were. If it was, obviously they were close enough for her to reach out to her and let her know if it's news before she found out through the internet. Cause I think there's nothing more than a slap in the face than finding something out through an online article or through Instagram or, you know, through word of mouth. So I think it was the respectful thing for Lauren to do to call Lauren. Yeah, this is confusing. There are so many Laurens.
So many Laurens.
For Bushnell to call Barr. So, we're going to call them by their last name to make life easier.
I agree. And so, yeah, I mean, it's tough, right? Because you can't forget that you're in a public relationship. And for me personally, when Ashley and I came out and announced our relationship back in May, I was kind of going back and forth in my own head whether I should reach out to one particular ex-girlfriend and let her know that I am now dating mm-hmm. Ashley and we're going to announce our relationship. And I was talking to my sister about it. And, you know, I was talking to a couple of friends about it. Some were saying you don't owe her anything. There's really nothing you need to say. And, mm-hmm. and then others saying if you wanted to reach out. More importantly, I was nervous of reaching out, not for her sake, but for Ashley's sake. Because I didn't want Ashley mm-hmm. to think that I was putting my ex-girlfriend's feelings over her own in any way. So it's kind of a fine line. And so I ended up reaching out, but I reached out. I felt like too late. And I wish I could have redone that. I think I would have done it. I think I could have done a better job than I did, which I regret, unfortunately.
I think it's whenever, like, you know, if I date a guy and he starts by saying anything negative about his ex-girlfriend, to me, that's a huge red flag. Like,
well, who's saying something?
Have that many No. I'm just trying to give a comparison here. So if, like, someone has something negative to say about their ex-whatever, boyfriend or girlfriend, it's a red flag. For someone that wants to... that thinks highly of their significant other after they break up, it's a sign that they moved on and they're on neutral terms. So I think if you would have done it a little bit sooner, I don't know if Ashley would. I mean, I don't know Ashley that well, but I think if I were to put myself in Ashley's shoes, she may have thought that would have been a respectful thing for you to do. Because it's like, it shows like a soft side to you, you know, it shows a side that you're caring and you consider other people's feelings.
No, I agree.
I think
I was just overthinking the situation, if I'm being honest. And,
the comparison here is that if Ashley were to call this person
mm-hmm.
your ex,
mm-hmm.
and that's a little weird, isn't it?
No.
Well, she did.
No. Yeah,
she did. Yeah. She did.
Yeah, she called.
It wasn't you that called. It was Ashley that called.
Well, no, she called somebody, an ex of hers.
An ex of hers.
A couple days before we came out and said, you know, hey, this is happening.
But in the Lauren situation, it was the new girlfriend called the old girlfriend. So it would be Ashley calling your ex and maybe you calling Ashley's ex.
I think it's a little different because I'm assuming the reason Bushnell reached out to Barr is because they were friends. Because they were on the same season of The Bachelor.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that they knew each other and she wanted to be respectful. Yeah. Now, do you think it would have been more appropriate for Chris to call? I think it's 50-50. It depends on what their relationship was.
Yeah. I feel like it's girl code.
Is this a celebrity situation?
Mostly it's a celebrity thing, but I think it might be just becoming a modern day thing with Facebook
and
Instagram.
That's what I'm saying. Right. Before you go social media official, do you need to warn exes before you do that?
I don't. God.
I would. Yeah.
I don't know. It depends. It really depends because there is a difference between a public relationship and a non-public relationship, because someone like Lauren Bushnell and this guy Chris Lane, like, they're going to be in articles and some of their inside relationship stories will be brought to the public. Whereas if you're not in a public relationship, it's really just going to be about whatever you put on your social media. So for the other ex partner, boyfriend and girlfriend, they can just unfollow. I think it's very difficult for somebody who's in a public relationship for their ex to unfollow them because they're just in headlines.
I agree, but I also disagree. It's so easy nowadays to find out which friend just gave birth and which friend, like, you don't have to be following them. Someone else could be a mutual friend of yours could be following your ex or the person that they're dating. Listen, I dated this guy and it's a craziest story. I dated this guy, and then a friend came out to visit me in Montreal, and then they go back home to their hometown, and they're like, oh, I saw that you hung out with Vanessa this weekend. And they're like, yeah. And that person is like, oh, I'm following Vanessa's boyfriend. And that person was like, what? Vanessa doesn't have a boyfriend. This guy that I casually dated posted pictures of me on his Instagram feed, but had deleted all of my mutual friends so that I couldn't find out. But it just so happened that we had a mutual friend in common, and it came back to me. I don't think it's because, like, I was in the public eye. It's just because this person was following a mutual friend of ours. So I think the universe will always play in your favor. You don't have to go searching for shit. Will come out of the closet, or whatever the expression is, and it'll, like, expose itself before you have to go searching for it.
Maybe, but I also don't advocate that everybody should reach out to the ex before they start dating someone new. Like, that's just the way life goes, unfortunately.
No, I think that if you're going to start to date someone that a friend of yours had dated, then it's the proper thing to do. Reach out and just start your relationship on a good note, and, like, karma is not going to come and bite you in the ass later on.
All right, let me ask you a different question. Should Lauren Bushnell have contacted Ben Higgins and told him?
No. Why? How is Ben Higgins? What does he have to do with
But Chris Lane? That's my point. So, like, for everybody that's not in a public relationship.
But Lauren Barr dated Chris Lane.
No, what
that's
I'm
the link.
Yeah, but our conversation earlier was, do you think somebody needs to reach out to their ex when they're in a new relationship before they, like, post something on social media? And for somebody that's not in a public relationship, no. I don't think it's necessary to do.
I think Lauren Bushnell might have even reached out to Ben.
And
I don't
she
know
might
anything,
have.
But, and said, hey, by the way, heads up, this is going on, and this is going to be public just so you know. Because the key is, how do they find out? You don't want your ex to find out from friend of a friend, from rumor mill, from Entertainment Tonight, whatever the situation may be. You'd rather hear it from them, right?
Yes, I agree. But now,
yeah, but I mean, if I were to start dating someone, I wouldn't call up Nick and be like, hey, heads up, I'm dating someone. Like, no.
I agree. Just conversely, Nick wouldn't call you, and I don't think neither one of you needs to do that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think we're all in agreement.
Okay, so we agree.
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement on that one.
All right, we have a guest here. I want to bring her in. Vanessa, you got to get in your cab. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, sorry, guys. I have the worst luck with travel, but enjoy the rest of the episode.
Thanks, Vanessa.
Bye, guys. Love you.
All right, well, as you guys know, the holidays are coming up, which means it's probably getting colder where you're at, which means I just want to, for me personally, I want to stay in and watch TV all day. And the cool thing is, now there's a lot of streaming services out there, and one of the greatest streaming services is Amazon Fire TV. It brings all the live and streaming content that you love to the biggest screen in your house, also known as the television. You can watch everything you love with access to Netflix, Prime Video, Hulu, and so much more. You can even watch YouTube videos and access websites like Reddit. You can check Facebook. Facebook, all on the Fire TV. From makeup tutorials to memorizing cake icing videos to the new drama that's all the buzz, whatever you're into, it's on Fire TV. Watching YouTube is all about you, and when it's on the big screen with Fire TV, it's the ultimate mix of entertainment and relaxation. I've been binge watching The Good Place with Kristen Bell. Obviously, that's Ashley's choice, not my own. But the cool thing is, I'm going to make her start watching Barry, which is on HBO, right after we're done
with
that.
Great show, but Good Place is a good show. You got to admit, that's a funny show.
It is a funny show. I'm very excited to start Barry, though, because I'm a big Bill Hader fan. And so that will be coming up soon. Again, that's all on Amazon Fire TV. All you have to do is say, Alexa, open YouTube, and I can watch my favorite YouTube channel. Everything is on the TV, like we said. It's better watching on the TV than on your laptop or at work or squinting into your phone. And if it wasn't enough, guys, you can even listen to this podcast and your music with the iHeartRadio app on Fire TV. All you have to do is head to Amazon.com/iSuckPodcast. Again, that's Amazon.com/iSuckPodcast to order a Fire TV of your very own. And they make great gifts, guys. It's the holiday season. So all your friends and family members this holiday season, get them the Amazon Fire TV by going to Amazon.com/iSuckPodcast. What a great website. Check it out today. Also, with the holidays coming up, guys, a lot of people, unfortunately, are getting sick. We are in the midst of the flu season. Ashley is actually having a little bit of a cold right now, but she's trying to do her best to stay healthy. And one of the things that she can do is take vitamins. And so she's been trying the Ritual vitamins, which are all for women. Ritual is the perfect vitamin. It's just two daily capsules made with the 9 essential nutrients most women lack. From D3 to omega-3, Ritual Essential for Women fills the gaps in a woman's diet, all with a fresh, minty flavor and no fishy aftertaste. I know that Ashley hates that. For obsessive label readers, all of Ritual's vegan-friendly, sugar-free, non-GMO, gluten-free, and allergen-free ingredients. Wow, that's a lot. Mm-hmm. And their sources are 100% out there for the whole world to see. So you guys get the bottle. Everything that's in the vitamin is right there, right on the label, and it's delivered. So your healthy body never gets to be compromised because of your busy schedule. They get delivered right to your door. The subscription for Ritual is so easy to start, and it's easy to snooze any month you want.
You can snooze the month, so like if you're going to be out of town or whatever, or something, you can just pause for a month.
Oh, okay, perfect. Yeah. That's great. Nice? I didn't know what the snooze. Oh, it's like a snooze button
like
for
a
your
snooze
vitamins.
Button, yeah,
great.
It's pretty awesome.
Well, whether you're living your daily life or creating it, why not add some good-looking science into your daily routine, guys? You can visit ritual.com right now to get your Ritual today. Now you're going to go to ritual.com/dean and get your vitamins today. Check them out; they're great. Here we go.
Ritual.com/Dean.
Well, in studio, we have a very lovely guest. We have Brittany Louise Taylor. Now I'm saying that correctly.
You're saying it right. Yeah.
Yes,
you did
perfect.
Good. Yay.
Brittany, thank you so much for joining us today. You are a very special guest. So, Brittany, tell our audience, this is the Help I Suck at Dating podcast, so okay. It's all about dating. You have a little bit of background.
Yeah.
A massive background in that.
I thoroughly suck at dating.
Yes.
So I belong here. This is my moment.
You're in the right place.
Yeah.
So tell our audience a little bit about yourself.
I make videos on YouTube, and I have for the past, I don't know if it was 11, 12 years. I'm really tall and skinny, so it's kind of hard to book me in acting.
I saw you walk in. How tall are you?
6 feet. But I like heels too, so that makes me like 6'4". So I'm the one you notice when you're out, like not in a good way, because like that's the girl in line at Subway, like, you know.
Are you wearing heels right now?
I am.
Oh, okay, because I noticed, I was like, you look taller than 6 feet.
Yeah, good. But I mean, when you're 6 feet, like what's the point? What's another like 3 or 4 inches? Does that make sense? Like it doesn't matter. You're already 6 feet.
Yeah, so you might as well just
rock it.
Rock it. Just be 6'4". So I'm sorry, continue.
So I make videos on YouTube. I have my son will be 2 this week. So I have a 2-year-old son, single mom, and I went through one of the most horrific dating experiences. My life was like a Lifetime movie.
Yeah, and you have a book coming out.
I do. Coming out.
Describing your events.
Yeah, and it goes into how I met him on Tinder and all the, I fell in love, had a baby, and kind of my whole entire world went crashing down around me. And the things that I discovered when I left him that are just bone chilling and still kind of scare me at night, but I'm just being a voice for every woman that's ever been abused and never spoken up.
This is what we call a cautionary tale.
It's a cautionary tale.
Exactly. And the name of it...
Don't do what I did.
The name of it is A Sucky Love Story Overcoming Unhappily Ever After. Mm-hmm. And now you're on the Help I Suck at Dating podcast, so it does come
full circle.
It really does. So how did you meet this particular person that's...
I swiped right on Tinder. So, I mean, I think I kind of in my gut knew we weren't going to be right for each other because, you know, he had this like one photo was him like without a shirt on, holding a grapefruit and knifing it. And he had kind of like he had like it's
interesting.
But they were like professional photos on his Tinder profile, which is pretty normal in L.A. Like, you know, there are, people are actors or but he was a doctor from Europe. And it just, it seemed a little staged, but he was so cute, I couldn't resist.
Was that a professional photo? The one?
Yeah, all of
the
them. Yeah. It was a professional photo. He was like knifing a citrus, like with like only blue jeans on, but he had a nice body. So.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's... Like it's still, I'm still female and somewhat shallow. Like the pecs got me.
Listen, it's an online dating app. Like the first thing you see is the physical appearance of somebody.
But you're
it's always visual and then
the
emotional.
The red flags that draw us are the things that should be pushing us away, but we can't help ourselves.
If only I had a time capsule or time machine that I could go back and talk to myself about this, but yeah.
And so it's a cautionary tale about what happened with you and everything that happened. So how long were you guys dating for?
Almost 2 years.
Oh, okay.
So yeah.
And then this is the father of your child.
Yes.
And you are very open about these things. I don't want people to think that like I'm pressing you with questions.
No, I want to talk about it.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of your videos on YouTube, which is very successful. And congratulations on all your success with that. And they're very entertaining. And I've seen videos of what is your son's name?
Rex.
Rex.
Think just little T-Rex dinosaur.
Little T-Rex. Yeah. Yes.
I did good in the naming department.
Adorable. He is the father of your child and he kind of went through a difficult time, but you said in one of your videos, I remember you saying it was very fast how everything
he came. Yeah.
Family, marriage, like this was in the first couple months.
Like within the first few dates he was talking marriage and I was kind of like, slow down, buddy. Cause he's like, who do I ask for permission? Like your mom. I'm like, wait a minute. Like this is only date number two. And he already told me like within like a week that it was like love at first sight. He said I was the most beautiful woman he had ever seen. He came on really strong and fast. Mm-hmm. And then from there, he kind of isolated me from my friends and family because, you know, he had to keep up whatever he had going on or whatever his motives were. So he kept me, you know, anyone that I was hanging out that wasn't him was not okay. So
possessive.
Mm-hmm. And then he started to be where he always had sob stories about things. So I started financially supporting him. Because he said he was a doctor from Europe, but he just needed to pass his board exams. Because when you come from Europe, you need to go through a process and take tests and make sure that, you know, you are ready to practice medicine in the United States. So he's like, I just need 2 months. So I was like, okay, I will financially support you for 2 months. You get your boards done and then, you know, you'll be able to help me and we'll have a partnership. But 2 months turned into 4, turned into 6. Before I knew it, I found out I was pregnant. I also had a girl come out of the woodworks and say that, you know, they were having an affair. He told me that she was a call girl and trying to get money from him because his family was wealthy. And then also the reason is just she had dirt on him because he was already married. Mm-hmm. So he told me when he met me that he paid his last $170,000 to this Russian woman so she would marry him for a green card. She's a U.S. citizen. So I believed him. He was just that, like, it's so hard.
It was
like,
that
I'm a
he's
so
cares. Pitcher with the citrus. I'm
I know.
Telling you.
I think it was my first time ever being in love, and anyone in love will tell you, like, when you're in love, you do have love goggles and you don't see things correctly, and you want to believe people's excuses. You don't want to believe that you're cheated on if they are giving you legitimate facts. He showed me on a computer how you can generate text messages. Mm-hmm. He's like, she's making this up. Look, these photos are from my friend and she's like writing, you know, my name, and you can put the battery power and the date and the time. He showed me how she could have legitimately done this.
Yeah.
But when I got on the phone with her, he was FaceTiming her at my mom's house. So she described in detail like my mom's furniture and like the lower level. And I was like, if I only would have talked to her, I would have known that he was lying. But yeah. Thankfully, I got out when I did. But,
how long were you together?
It was almost 2 years, but about 2 years.
And did you guys get married?
No. He said one day, he's like, oh, you're basically like my wife. And I'm like, yeah. He's like, well, we should get married. But he never got me a ring.
Mm-hmm.
So we were engaged without a ring. And I just wanted a cheap, like, I always wanted a vintage ring. So we started looking in, like, downtown LA, because, you know, there's some really cool, like, ring shops where you can get, like, vintage jewelry. I just wanted one that was like, you know, maybe $1,000 or something. But he insisted that, you know, when he got his $10 billion out of the bank, that he was going to get me this like massive rock. And it's not what I wanted. But we started looking at like high-end property in like Malibu and Rancho Santa Fe in San Diego and whatnot. And then he told me that the banker ran away with the money. And at that point, I had already been pregnant for 5 months, not working because of morning sickness, financially supporting him, put my house on the market, and then ended up having to sell it just to cover my debt and, you know, because I'm about to have a baby.
Yeah. Holy crap. How long were you guys together before you got pregnant?
I think it was a year and a half.
Oh, okay.
It was fast. And also too, he was a doctor, so he insisted that we don't use any kind of birth control or whatever. He's like, oh, if I pull out, you won't get pregnant.
He said that to you?
Yep. And I believed him because he was a doctor. And I mean, like, part of me kept saying, well, shouldn't I be on something? He's like, oh, statistically, it's not possible. And there's my book is everything not to do in a relationship.
For our listeners out there, the pullout method is not scientifically proven to be 100% proof.
And even if a doctor tells you that it is, it's not. Yeah. Like, trust me, I got pregnant.
But wait, he wasn't a doctor.
We don't know.
Really?
I wasn't able, like, it's so complicated. Like, even during our trial, the judge said, do I think you went to medical school? Yeah, but are you a doctor? I think that's a technicality. Because his time here, he didn't even know in my trial what like a W-9, like a W-2 was, or a 1099, or he had never practiced medicine in the United States. Mm-hmm. And during my birth, he didn't know his glove size and didn't know certain things. Like if you're a doctor, you know you're like small, medium, or large, like in a glove. And he was like, she's like,
but
okay.
He may have had a PhD.
I don't know. Wow. Even with an investigator, there's so many things that I just don't know, but I know a lot of our relationship were really artful lies.
It's fascinating scrolling through the just kind of the timeline of your YouTube videos.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fun, happy, song parodies, parody videos.
Yeah.
And then with him, it looks like, in some of these.
Yeah,
Family photo shoot, it was his idea.
It was his idea when I was sick because I couldn't do like my normal like high production value videos. So he's like, let's start vlogging. And I was like, I've never been someone who wanted to put my life out like that because you do open yourself up to a lot of criticism when you start vlogging and whatnot because this is your life. So people can question even which dish soap you use. Like people judge anything and everything and you have to have a really thick skin for it. But I started doing it and then they took off. Like people loved it. It was like a Lucy and Desi kind of thing. Like, you know, this cute foreigner with an accent and we had a giant bulldog that was a ham and me and people ate it up, but they didn't really know like all the abuse that was happening in the background.
Yeah.
And even some of my video titles, I was trying to like tip people off, like I feel trapped or whatever, but it would have nothing to do with the video. But I so badly wanted to tell people what was going on.
Why did you feel like you couldn't?
Fear.
Yeah.
He used a lot of like scare and fear tactics and probably will continue my entire life to do so. But like any like victim will tell you when they get away and they get into a healthy environment, you get your strength back and then you get your voice back and then you get angry and you're still scared. But you have this need to want to share what happened and protect other people from your pain.
Yeah. And is this what the book is about?
I literally wrote it like a narrative where it's not a normal memoir where I go, this happened, here's my thoughts on that, here's the lessons. I wrote it like from start to finish as I was living it. This is the story of our relationship. So people can figure out what they want to take out of it. I didn't want to tell people what to think. They can figure out what I did wrong just by reading it.
Yeah, it seems like a cautionary tale on a few different levels.
Yeah.
One on online dating.
Yeah.
And then furthermore, with a more serious issue, which is domestic violence.
Yeah, and also just like doing your homework. You know, it's not, I think that, you know, I was just so trusting. I think that was my biggest mistake. And, you know, I don't want to tell people not to be trusting, but you really do need to do your homework. Like, see if people work where they say they work or know who they say they know. And, you know, if 4, 5, 6 times it all lines up, then you probably can trust them. But you can't just believe everything that everyone says at like face value.
No, I completely agree. Actually, there was an LA Times article that came out, I think it was last year, and it says 7 safety tips to remember for online dating. But it's
I'm staying single forever now.
Well, it's just more so like you said, cautionary tales of doing your homework, doing your research. For example, number one is tell someone that you're going on a date.
Yeah, it's smart.
And it's very smart, right? So your friends know where you're at, that you're supposed to be here at this certain time with this particular person. Because I advocate online dating using apps.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
We're all too busy.
I
was just, I would have never been with anyone. I was just sitting in my house working all day like a troll with my curtains closed and editing. Like I didn't see people sometimes for a week. Like technology is not a bad thing.
No, not a bad thing at all. But you have to use it smartly,
yeah.
Right? And then it says number two, go easy on the alcohol. Sorry for the buzzkill, but they advise making the first date alcohol free, which I always advocate a coffee date anyway. I'm a lone loner on that one.
I regress. I never drink. So I become five. Mm-hmm. So I am always the DD. So I go along and tell, they call me the librarian. I tell everyone what happened the next day, and mm-hmm. I have a ton of fun because I'm witnessing all the shenanigans. But I'm never participating.
It's always better witnessing the shenanigans than being a part of the shenanigans. It says three, limit the personal data you reveal.
Mm.
So it says this goes beyond a Tinder date. Practice a little discretion. You don't want personal details such as your address, precisely where you plan to be on Saturday night. Things that are very specific. They say stay away from that, specifically on a first date, because while you're meeting someone, they are still strangers. It says number four, do a little online sleuthing. So Google, pretty much. Google the person you're meeting, which I think so, too.
I Googled him, but there were websites that may or may not be legitimate. So you can't even trust that.
What do you mean?
Like, there were things where he was on, like, a vape board as a doctor. Like, you know, who knows? This company went out of business, and it has a picture of him, that like, his, you know, cousin, if it's his cousin, took it. And
yeah.
I know that now, but, like, just because he's a doctor on a website for vaping doesn't mean he's actually a doctor.
Totally. And they say, I was, I don't know if it was this article or another one, but the same thing when you look up somebody on social media, just be smart if they have, you know, one picture with zero followers or so on. Like, just, you know, become your own little investigator. You know, go a little deeper because it is a little scary. Number five is they say talk before the first date. So that's another question that we brought up. Talk about, like, either FaceTiming before a first date or calling them, making sure that this is an actual person.
Yeah.
I think
it probably save you from some like weird dates too, because you know there's those ones that are really pretty and then you get around and you're like, oh no.
Oh yeah, bad yeah. news. Bad
yeah,
news.
That probably would help.
And then number six says there's safety in crowds. Always mm-hmm. meet up with somebody, you know, at a bar. Never go to a hotel. Even at a bar at a hotel, I'd probably stay away from, because that's just if there's.
I'm with you on coffee or lunch.
Same.
Or something like safe.
I agree.
Yeah,
because I completely advocate using online dating, but you just have to use it smartly and make sure that, you know, like we talked about, be in a public place, make sure you tell your friends where you're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says number seven, go home alone. You know, try to do your best to not have this turn into an overnight date.
Yeah.
But it's all true. You know, it is, it's the modern world we live in, you know, and it's one of those things I feel like we either adapt or we die.
Yeah.
And in this case, we either adapt or we die alone.
Exactly.
Because it really is just everybody's meeting each other online, and there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
But you have to just, like yourself, you know.
It's just like, yeah. But if someone's coming on really strong, if, like, you know, they're saying it's love at first sight, if they want to marry you right away, if they're controlling you, if they're isolating you, there are things that are just behavior of people that are going to be toxic.
It reminds me of the Dirty John podcast.
You know what's
is
so
it
funny?
Similar to that?
It's very similar, but not like, you know, no one tried to kill me in the end. Like,
What's a Dirty John podcast?
Oh, you need to listen to it. But it's very similar. But we always say it's like a younger European Dirty John. like, you know, listening to hers, there are some similarities. And what's even creepier.
Well, he's pretending to be a doctor for one.
But yeah, but what's even creepier is my ex was in Newport Beach for a while. So I'm like, did he know this guy?
Right,
or like,
right.
Did he, like, was that his mentor? I don't know.
If
because,
you don't know, it's a great podcast. The LA Times put it out. Yeah. It's about a true story in Orange County of a guy who pretended to be a doctor, pretended to be all these things, and scammed this woman out of a whole bunch of money. And mm-hmm. she supported him for a long period of time, ended up. Well, I don't want to
give away the end. Yes.
No, it's great. It's really good. And now it's a series on Bravo. Bravo?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think it's on Bravo. Yeah, with Connie Britton.
Yeah, there's some, because it's people that are like that are con artists or whatever. They do have certain tactics.
Is he a con artist? Like, is your guy that?
I can't say, but there's certain things, like he you know, faked an illness at one point and tried to get my bank account information. And there was definitely a lot going on, or, like, you know, trick me into giving him, like, all our pertinent documents, like our social security cards and whatnot, because he said he was dying. And wanted to put land in our name, like for my son and I. But now I'm like, you know, yeah, you're just like covering your head, Jared.
No, I fixed my hat.
I thought you were going like, oh God. So like, you know, I've had to like freeze my credit and all that stuff. But people like John and Dirty John or my guy Milosh and in my, you know, life, they all kind of operate the same. And I think the more that people come forward, it educates everyone because there's only certain tactics that work. Like if someone comes and thinks you are the, you know, the bee's knees from mm-hmm. the start and comes on strong and you are perfect,
you've been waiting for that your
wrong.
Whole life. But you've been waiting for somebody to say
exactly,
those things.
But they know that. Yeah. They know that that's what women fall for or men, because like 1 in 4 women in their lifetime will experience domestic violence and 1 in 9 men mm-hmm. in our lifetime will experience some form of it. So like, you know, if everyone is aware of the tactics these people use, they're not going to be able to do it because there's only so many things that work.
What are some of the tactics?
Like I said, come on strong. You're perfect. They want to marry you. The same, like, yeah, I was saying isolation. They also figure out a way for you to take care of their problems all the time. They'll give you a sob story, like in crying, and you feel the need to have to. And a lot of times it ends up being money. So it's always like, oh, I can't pay for like my car because of whatever. And then you're like, oh, okay, well, I'll take out a car loan so you won't pay 22% on your interest because I'm, you know, an immigrant and I have no, you know, he said he had no credit. So, it, you know, it would have been like 22% interest. So I was like, okay. Then I took out a car loan in my name. And then before you know it, I was paying the car payments too when he was supposed to pay the car payments.
I feel like I hear these stories all the time from a catfish standpoint where it's a lot of online meeting up chat rooms and then it's somebody who's fallen in love with this person and then it ends up being a scam and they're just trying to get money and they're like, no, I need money to come to the United States and can you please send me $10,000 and I can come to you, blah, blah, blah. But in your case, this was personal.
But mine makes no sense too because the woman that he was married to, she was a trust fund baby with a ton of money. I'm not. Like, you know, I've done okay for myself, but like she, before she like took down her social media, had, you know, pictures of her on a yacht and private planes and like the car he was driving and all his luxuries that he had when he met me were probably purchased by her. So why me? Like he left that to be with me. So I don't know if he just found me more of a challenge and more interesting or was sick of sleeping with someone who was twice his age or what. I still don't understand why because he used to tell me all the time, I had everything when I met you. I had everything when I met you. And I kept thinking, it always put the blame on me and made me feel like I had to work harder or give more because he lost so much being with me.
Do you know why you were a target for him?
Why? Like, tell me.
No. And because I know you would blame yourself in this situation. And of course, there's no reason to do that. Of course. But do you know what about you? Because like you say, you're not on yachts on social media. Why he targeted you?
I have no idea.
Because somebody has all these followers on YouTube, they must
be exactly what I was
a billionaire?
Because
he knew my finances, and she was like a multimillionaire, if not billionaire. And I'm not. I had one little cute house in Highland Park that I busted my butt to buy that was 1,700 square feet. Like, I wasn't rolling in the dough. I had a Mini Cooper. Like, yeah. I wasn't like, you know.
But I feel like people see YouTube celebrities, YouTube stars with a big following, and immediately assume that they're famous and rich, you know, and some are. But yeah. I feel like even, you know.
You really have to get to an extreme level, though, to get to that mm-hmm. point. Because, like, even the brand deals are usually just keeping the lights on and paying the production value.
I absolutely agree. Yeah. And furthermore, even not just YouTube stars, but reality TV stars. Like, you're seen on TV.
Educate
and people
me.
Are like, oh, my God, you're famous and rich. And it's like, you...
No,
you
I work.
Are, you don't know how this works.
Yeah.
Because it's the complete opposite.
Yeah.
I remember when I first went, I went back to work right after the show, and people were like, what are you doing here? Why are you working here? I was like, what do you mean, why am I working here? I need to pay the bills.
One season of The Bachelor.
They just immediately assume if they see you on TV or if you have a big following on YouTube or social media, it's like, oh, you're set for life.
But she had millions. Why leave that for me?
Maybe she started catching on.
It's a lot of unanswered questions here.
Oh,
still,
huh? If only I could be a fly on the wall. I feel like, you know, so, talk to me 20 years from now and I'll probably have more information.
I guess I'm a little confused too because throughout this timeline, so what was the first time he started really showing red flags like this?
Yeah, the first indicator that he's not what you think he is.
The first indicator was, I think, I think I knew in my gut, is when, I mean, I knew from the start that something was not right, but he was just so pretty that I was like, really? Like, men got crushes on him. Wherever I went, all my guy friends, like, when he let me hang out with people in the start, would just want to, like, bro, let's go play basketball. Like, they all got a crush on him. He was just extremely good looking and charismatic and... I think that when the woman sent those messages, I remember I was doing a branded job for a big TV show, and I had mm-hmm. a shoot that night, and I got these emails, come in from this woman named Bunny with all these screenshots of their stuff. And she's like, he's lying. Don't believe him. And then that's when he's like, she's trying to blackmail me. Mm-hmm. I couldn't let it go because I booked a job for a big car company. So I was flying to Detroit the next day. And I was on deadline to get this video finished. And I remember Milos was just sitting on the floor crying. And I'm like trying to edit and process everything. And then on the plane ride to Detroit, I just kept obsessing about the messages. And I couldn't, even my mom said, let it go. He didn't do it. But I would check her Instagram because it made sense. Mm-hmm. Like she looked like someone who Milos would go after, if that even, she was completely opposite from me. Like, I'm more like sweet girl next door quirky. She was like busty and like baboom, like Jessica Rabbit type. So I understand it's believable that he could have had an affair with her. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it was about March of that year, I was ready to break it off with him. And that's when I found out I was pregnant. So I didn't talk to him for 5 months when I found out I was pregnant because, I've always wanted to have a family, but I wanted it to be on my own terms. And I felt like he kind of tricked me because, I wasn't using anything. And
yeah, well, he's a doctor.
He's a doctor. And I was listening to him, his advice. But so it was like, that was the biggest red flag was her. And then when I finally got to where I sold my house, we moved to San Diego, then things started to just not add up, where I was like, this doesn't make any sense. What is he doing all day? Who is he talking to? And his mom was just crazy. And when the moment my son was born, they wanted to get my son like Bosnian Serbian citizenship. And then they kept talking about going to Serbia when he was 6 months old. And I'm like, wait a minute, I won't have citizenship. We go there. Oh, he God. Can stay. The baby can stay. What about me? And so I tried to block it. I emailed their consulate and whatever, and they weren't cooperative at all. But I put on his passport a notice. So if anyone tried to apply for a passport for my son, that I would get notified.
Yeah.
So I've done everything to protect myself. Like now my son's his name's completely changed because he was born Misha Robert Mihailovic because my fiance at the time insisted that he have a Serbian name, and I never got to pick his name. So the moment I left him, I just started calling him. I just couldn't handle it anymore. I started calling him Rex, and he loved it. He would just smile and giggle. So now it's legally changed. Mm. We went through the process, and a judge is like, after I presented all the evidence, was like, yep, you have due. Yep, okay. signed off right away on it.
Stamped a Rex. Rex it is.
Yeah. But I mean, every police officer we've talked to says, don't get your son a passport. Don't leave the country.
That's scary as hell, that whole bringing him.
I'm still terrified, but for me, I'm like, do I live my whole life in fear? No.
Right.
Like I talk about in the book, I'm like, there's safety in numbers, and I feel like it's better for everyone to know what happened to me, and when I'm out in public, know what Rex looks like, what I look like, than only a few handful of people know what happened to me.
Yeah.
So, and women like me should not have to be quiet about this.
No, absolutely not. You should always be able to speak up.
No.
How did you? I mean, it's your book. You may not want to give away the ending. But
well, let's see. Let's go there.
I want to know how you escaped. I want to know how you ended this finally, once and for all.
When I finally decided to leave him, that's always the hardest part. Like, you need a plan, especially when you're with someone who's abusive and controlling. Like, you can't, because if you've been beat down a lot of times they can convince you to stay, and you know that about yourself. You're like, if he talks to me for 3 or 4 hours, I will probably give in and not leave. So we basically tricked them. My mom came over for her, she used to do antique buying trips. So it was a legitimate reason. I'm like, my mom's coming. And then I was switching to new management here in LA. I had a meeting about a clothing company that I was going to do. Like, I had legitimate meetings. So, and my son was still on breast milk. So I was like, I can't leave him, there. He has to come with us. Mm-hmm. So my mom, my son and I came to LA, and I had the first day that I let him back in because I was trying to fix things. He was I didn't tell you guys this. He didn't live with me from my son being 4 or 5 days old till he was a month and a half. And he would just come back and scream at me because I basically kicked out his mom because his mom kept calling my child my baby mm-hmm. and kept taking it from me. Geez. And it was really, and wanting to bind his hips, which is like put multiple diapers. And like all the doctors said, no, this is barbaric. And she also wanted to put like a coin around his belly button because he had an Audi like belly button. It's innie now, but like all these really strange
things.
What does
binding his hips do?
I don't know. It's a European thing. It's dated. Yeah. Like, they basically put multiple diapers on and they try to like get the hips in a certain position. And every doctor, every pediatrician said, don't do this.
Yeah.
So when he finally had come back in, the first day that I let him back in, because I was like, hey, this is the father of my child, and there were some circumstances going on. I need to let him back in and try to fix things. Then he was crazy and screaming at me in the car, and we had an altercation, and he hyperextended my pinky when I was trying to call 911. So my son had spit up on me. When I went into the closet, I took my phone and I snapped a couple pictures. So our plan was get to LA, file a police report about the domestic violence, even though it had been a month. It took a little bit to get this plan where my mom could come back and what we were going to do.
Mom was helping you with the plan. She was on board
with
this whole thing.
Yeah, she was on board the whole thing. Yeah. Like, her and my adopted brother Robert were the masterminds. Mm-hmm. So, but they said you have to report it in the county of the crime. So then I'm in LA, like, finally leave him. And then I have to go back to San Diego, back to the apartment, and file a police report. And then, like, his friends kept hanging out outside of our apartment. Like, I fully expected, like, a van just to pull up at any moment and just take us.
Yeah.
So I got a temporary restraining order first, and then we had to go through a trial for domestic violence.
I'm assuming there was more domestic violence than the pinky situation.
Like, there was two. Well, the verbal abuse was, like, constant. Excruciating,
yeah.
and awful. He had two physical altercations. One of them was while I was pregnant. Mm. But it was tricky because when I was trying to get away and get to our neighbors, he was on me, and I was trying to push away his face, and he said I hurt his eye. So I thought I had hurt him trying to get away from him because he's like, my eye. And then he, like, wore a patch for a while and had eye drops. And I gave him, like, $200 for the doctor, and I wanted to go with him, but he wouldn't let me. And my mom drove over, and she's like, you guys cannot let things escalate like this. But then I should have called the police. I think everything happened as it was supposed to happen, though, because now I got the restraining order that I needed, and I had the proof collected. And, you know, if I would have... You know, you can't go back in time. You can only go forward.
Yeah, no. I mean, obviously, we all wish that never happened to you. But now you do have this book coming out where hopefully a lot of people can read and learn from A Cautionary Tale. Again, it is called A Sucky Love Story Overcoming Unhappily Ever After by Brittany Taylor.
Where is he? I'm sorry.
I have a million questions.
Where is he now? Is he doing this to some other woman?
You know what? I wasn't going to talk about this, and I don't talk about it in the book. Because I'm trying to protect, but yeah, there's other victims, but I'm not. That's all
you?
I want to say. No, because I like these people are just as much of a victim as I am, and I don't want if I was in their shoes. Like, you know, these women don't know all these things about him, and I'm and because of my restraining order, I can't. There's only so much I can do. My hands are tied.
Them.
No, I can't, and that's awful. But at least with my book, I can warn.
Yeah.
About him and other people like him. But I can't, my hands are tied. And it happened during my trial that he was involved with someone else. And yeah, it's like he already has a kid with that person.
Oh.
Yeah. And, you know, and married to that person.
Do you think that's a tactic too?
Well, you tell me. In the, you know, 3 years that, you know, he in the span of 3 years, he had been married to one woman, engaged to me and had a child, and married to another woman and had a child.
Yeah.
And he knew so much about children. Like, he knew which sterilizer I should buy and, like, what diaper brands were good. Some Japanese one when our son had, like, a rash. And he just, like, instantly knew things. And part of me wonders, like, how many other, like, half-brothers or sisters does my child have?
Mm-hmm.
You know, my kid is amazing. Like, you know, I'm sure that, you know, they're all wonderful. But I mean, there's so much that I want to know.
Wow.
So your kid will never know his dad, hopefully.
No. Yeah. They made it pretty strict. Like, I got what I wanted out of the court system, thankfully. So.
But they can't lock him up for this?
Well, there's not. I mean, I could have gone after him for fraud. But after you fight a trial for domestic violence, mm-hmm. I was already like. Out $100,000 of everything, and like now, like even now, my bills because you know buying court transcripts even to write the book and all the like the expenses never end when you're in a fight to protect like yourself and your child, and they never will. But like it's so worth it. Like once you have kids, you'll get it. Like they you know you would spend every single dime you have on them, and like now I don't even want to buy clothes for myself. I'm like, look at the little splendid shirt. That's adorable. Rex needs it. You know so. Kids are always worth it.
I have two myself, so I know what you're saying. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's such a sad, awful story.
It's
I'm
not,
so
you
sorry
know what?
You went through that.
Don't worry. Like, I tried to approach it, like, from a kind of sarcastic point of view. And, like, the good thing is, you know, my story has a happy ending or I wouldn't be here.
I think the big red flag, and that's the takeaway, I think, for listeners, because so many people listening to this podcast are on online dating.
Yeah.
I think the big red flag, and there are so many, is isolating you from your friends and family.
Oh yeah,
that's a huge one.
Well, that's just a sociopathic trait too, because they don't want anyone to know, like they don't want anyone to get on, like catch on to them, and they can't handle when people don't like them. And they're very possessive. They don't want you around.
They're possessive, so they're going to isolate you from your own family and friends. Mm-hmm. And I do think that having kids might be a tactic. So it's like your new family.
Yeah.
You can lock you down and like even furthermore isolate you from your parents and everybody else.
You kept him around longer and went back more because he was the quote
father of my child.
Exactly.
And he kept wanting to get me pregnant right away. And I'm like, no. The doctor says wait a year because it's not healthy for your body. Uh-huh. Like you need time to recuperate. And I'm like, that was kind of scaring me. I'm like, I just pushed out one and you want another one? Like, come on. Mm. Like, you know, in the future, yeah, they're great. Multiply them. But like right at that moment, no.
Yeah, not at the moment.
But the other thing is you can't say like, oh, I wish this had never happened to me because now you have this beautiful child.
You know what? I would go through it 100 times over. Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah. No, but I mean, that's true. Like it's all that cliche, like storybook thing. Like the moment your child's born, your heart bursts open, and it's true. Like you're like, yes, I would do anything for you. I remember in the hospital the day after he was born, because I did think about a little while about not keeping Rex because it was just not by choice. And, you know, I ultimately like made the decision to be a mom. And like, even though I was like, okay, even if it doesn't work out with Milos, this is still a life. I'm going to keep him. But I had this major guilt in the hospital. I can't believe I thought about not keeping you. You're so cute. And I think you don't even think about like how, like he had these, when he was born, these super long eyelashes and he was so chill. And they said, oh, give it 24 hours. And 48 hours went by and he was still like the most chill baby. And he's still like crazy, but he's just relaxed. Like he'll go, ah, but he's not like a fussy baby.
Yeah.
Like gave him a shot and he just grunted. Like he didn't like, he was just cool from the start. I'm like, okay, he's either not really bright or he just has it all figured out. Because like in the car seat home, didn't cry one bit. Just like, whatever.
Just chilling.
But they can't see and he's just sitting in there like, I don't care.
Well, it's really nice to hear that something really incredible came from this, from this really sad and horrible story that you had to go through. But like Mark said, you know.
Yeah. It'll be good that, like, he knows that, and I, like, you know, the book's as much, like, one of my friends just read it and called me crying. She's like, Brittany, this is a love story to Rex.
No.
And I think it is. Like, I want him to know why I did what I did and why his dad can't be in his life. And I think that what a better way than to really lay it out for him and when he's old enough.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was reading up on you a little bit, and I think it was either on Amazon or Goodreads. There was a bio about you.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave you a little tidbit that I didn't know about you.
Okay.
And it said that one day, your dream is to be on The Bachelor.
Let me explain. I want to wear the really pretty dresses and get like my hair done. And so I have some friends that have worked on it, but I don't know if I would want to date 20... like be around with like 25 people dating one person.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm not a jealous type. I'd probably just be like, peace and leave. I just wouldn't care. Like, I don't think I would get in the heat enough. I'm not aggressive enough.
Do you watch?
I do. I've watched all of them. Yeah, I've watched you. I love, especially Bachelor in Paradise. Like, I love it.
Well,
my mom watches it, and that's our favorite. We die laughing because like the dynamics and everyone's just always really loaded and alcohol and like glazed and.
Well, the alcohol is the most. I will tell you the most overrated thing about the franchise that I've ever heard, because everybody asks about that.
Okay.
I'm like, really nobody gets drunk except for the one incident that obviously happened 2 years ago. But Paradise is by far the best show out of the franchise.
It's my favorite.
And even one of the producers, he was telling me, he said, because he tried to relate it to superhero terms for layman, for me at least. And he said that The Bachelor and The Bachelorette is like people's individual films, and then Bachelor in Paradise is the Avengers, where they all come together.
No, I just love how quickly it switches, and I love it when it's in like the girls' hands and how guys are sweating. Like I love the switch, like when the power keeps flipping.
Yes.
And then watching people that are like, oh, I'm like all like manly and cool. Now does she like me? I don't know. Like I like to watch the cat and mouse, if
squirming
that makes sense. Yeah.
At the cocktail party, desperately trying to get a rose. Well, before you got on, we'll segue to a little bit lighter subject. We were talking about Lauren Bushnell. Do you remember who Lauren Bushnell was?
I'm better with faces.
That is her on the left. She was the one engaged to Ben Higgins.
Yeah.
And so she is dating a country music star now. His name is Chris Lane.
Okay.
And so Chris Lane was dating another girl from the Bachelor franchise whose name was Lauren Barr. She's on the right. Long story short.
I don't remember her, but yes.
Yes. Long story short, Lauren Barr was dating Chris Lane, and then they broke up. I don't know how long they were dating, but then Lauren Bushnell started dating this guy, Chris Lane, and before they announced a relationship, she reached out to the other Lauren to say, hey, listen, I'm dating this guy. Just kind of wanted to, you know, make a good feeler. And we were just talking about the necessity of that. I wanted to get your 2 cents.
I think that's just nice.
I think
that's really like, you know, and it's a good way to, if the girl has any bad blood, you know, kind of like speak now or forever hold your peace.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be in her way like, you know, hey, I'm dating this person. Like, what do you know? And you never know what she would come back with. It was so funny. I was just on a podcast earlier and they said, don't date a musician.
Really?
They said they will always break your heart. This one girl was married to this famous musician and like he got one of their groupies pregnant. Now they're married. She's like, don't date a musician. But maybe country music's different.
Well, I'm not accusing this guy of anything. He's a very good looking man. Sure, he's very nice. But this is his third Bachelor contestant that he's been rumored to be with.
But they're beautiful women.
They
so maybe,
are beautiful women.
Maybe, like, you know, the Bachelor franchise is like handpicking these people. And then he's like, okay, well, I'll have A, B, and C. You know what I mean? Like,
I know. Well, he's making himself the Bachelor pretty much.
Yeah.
I know. Hey, good for Chris Lane.
Maybe he will be the next Bachelor and then you called it.
And then Lauren will go on. Both Laurens will go
on the
season,
show.
And they'll be the final two. And he has to pick one of the Laurens.
Yep. So you need to be a producer.
I know. I've just been on this franchise. I've just been on 4 seasons and I know too much. It's terrible. Yeah. But hopefully it just works out with him and Lauren Bushnell.
But I think that was classy.
I think it's really classy. Yeah. Well.
I have an idea.
Oh, mm-hmm. You have an idea?
I have an email that I think that Brittany could really help us with this email.
Okay.
I think she could weigh in on this.
Okay.
If anybody can, she can. But first,
I'm the female perspective in the room. So.
Yes. Okay. Which we could use this week.
Okay.
And it's too bad Vanessa and Dean aren't here. If you're such
I know,
a
that would be fun. Yeah. I mean, I was kind of excited. And then I was like, okay, I'll be okay with Jared. I'll be fine.
You'll be fine. Yeah, you'll be fine with me. But it would have been really
I mean,
nice
it's always
Dean.
Like, it's always anxious to like when you, like, I'm not just coming to like be silly. I'm like, oh, great. I have to talk about like heartbreaking things and make them light and go. But like, I think it worked out.
I think it was great.
I
loved having you here. I really am fascinated by this story.
Great. Same. We're already friends.
We are.
Besties.
So, and what friends do is give advice. So
exactly.
What's this?
Well, we're going to do that in a second. First, tell us about Talkspace, Jared.
Well, Talkspace, today's show is sponsored by Talkspace. And we've been talking about Talkspace for quite a while on this podcast. And what Talkspace is, it's an online therapy company that lets you message a licensed therapist from anywhere at any time. All you need is a computer with internet connection or the Talkspace mobile app on your phone. And that means you can improve your mental health even if you had trouble making the time for it in your past. I try to stay mentally healthy by going for walks. I work out. I try fasting from social media, staying off at certain times. But sometimes you just need to get something off your chest. And I certainly do a lot of times in my life. And so this is the best part about Talkspace, especially living in LA. There's no extra commutes. Like we talked about, everything is on your computer or it's on your mobile phone. There's no leaving the office. There's no judgments. Remember that therapy isn't just about venting your innermost thoughts or digging into childhood memories. It's also about practical, everyday strategies for stress management and living a happier life. Having a therapist simply provides you a designated person for you to talk to who's trained to listen and help you make positive changes. The Talkspace platform has over 2,000 licensed therapists who are experienced in addressing life challenges that we all face on a day-to-day basis. To match a perfect therapist for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, all you have to do is go to Talkspace.com/Dean and use the code Dean to get $45 off your first month and show your support for this show. Yet again, all you have to do is go to Talkspace.com/Dean, DEAN, and you get $45 your first month of Talkspace. It's always good to get things off your chest. I do it all the time to Ashley. She's like my personal therapist. So maybe I should do Talkspace to give her a little break. And then we're also, because of the holidays, partnering up with The Grove. It's that time of year again, holiday season. The best part, our house is jam-packed with family.
We haven't talked about Ashley coming to the Haybons for Thanksgiving.
I know.
We've got to get to that.
I know. Ashley is coming to the Haybons for
Thanksgiving. Oh, that's right.
Christmas.
You went to the Iconetti's for Thanksgiving.
I went to the Iconetti's, which was a house, a full household of Iconetti's for Thanksgiving, and she will be coming to Rhode Island for a Haybon
family Christmas.
A Haybon family Christmas. So it's always fun going jam-packed with the family back for the holidays. The worst part, unfortunately, is the cleaning. Whether it's kids dropping cranberry sauce or your uncle's smelly socks, nothing cleans our house like Mrs. Meyer's holiday scents. Get Mrs. Meyer's exclusive offer from Grove before it runs out. You can select your favorite holiday scents. Mine is the Iowa Pine. Right now, every new customer will get the holiday set when you place your first order of $20. This includes free Mrs. Meyer's holiday hand soap, Mrs. Meyer's holiday dish soap, Mrs. Meyer's Holiday Multi-Surface Spray, Grove Collaborative Red Cleaning Caddy, Grove Collaborative Walnut Scrubbing Sponges. Plus, if you spend $39, you will also receive a free Grove stoneware tray to beautifully display your new holiday soaps. I just received my holiday set, and everything in our home smells like Christmas, my favorite time of year. I ordered the Iowa Pine holiday scent, and everyone has been asking where I got it. But they also have tons of other products like pet products, self-care products, and baby products. Shop Grove before this exclusive holiday offer runs out. For a limited time offer, our listeners who sign up will get an amazing free Mrs. Meyers holiday products, a free 60-day VIP membership, and a surprise bonus gift just for you when you sign up and place an order of only $20 or more. Check out Grove and our special offer at grove.co/dean. That's grove.co/dean.
Not .com.
Not .com.
.co.
Just .co/dean for that special offer over at Grove.
Do people tell you you remind them of Lauren Graham?
All the time.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Especially when I, like, sometimes I get, you know, adventurous and I dye my hair dark brown and, like, they're like, hey, Gilmore Girls.
Who's Lauren Graham?
Gilmore Girls. Parenthood.
You know the mom on Gilmore Girls? Not Rory, but...
Lorelai,
yeah.
I didn't watch Gilmore Girls.
Parenthood? Okay. No Parenthood?
I got nothing.
Okay. The moment I leave, you'll look on your phone
I'm
going
to do it right now. Actually.
I can do
Lauren Graham. And also, your name is Brittany Louise Taylor.
My initials are BLT.
I was just going to ask you, do people call you BLT?
My dad, it was so funny. I had like a huge crush on this guy in high school, and he would always come to the football games. And my dad would be like, BLT, you want some nachos? Like yelling over the top. I'm like, oh. Yeah.
Shut up, Dad.
Like, yeah, I get it. No. So, I mean, now I kind of like it. I mean, it's a good, you know, it's, and I was vegan for a while, so everyone would tease me, like, you know, your initials are BLT, you don't even eat bacon. So it's fun.
I love it.
It's endearing.
Here's the email from Anonymous. Those are always the best ones. I'm 25, and I've been single since my college boyfriend cheated on me. I've been doing the app scene, and I've had a five-month relationship, which ended when the guy told me he didn't feel the same way 2 weeks after asking me to be his girlfriend. Recently, I was watching a football game, and a guy struck up a conversation. He asked me out, but I haven't heard from him. Now, a lot of your advice on this podcast centers on putting yourself out there and being present in the moment, so I texted him. He then made it clear that he only wanted to hook up. I've told this story to men and women. They all have the same reaction. Well, what did you expect? A guy who comes up to you like that is a player. My question is, what gives? Is that true? Am I only going to meet cocky douchebags in real life? Should I stick to the apps? Or if there are good guys willing to ask a girl out in person, where do I look for them? Please help. I suck at dating so much, and I'm tired of being the only single one in my friend group.
I think you can tell, like, online dating is good because you can tell people's motives really quickly.
Yeah.
Usually, like, you know, they're very much like, hey, what are you doing later? Or what are you wearing? Or like, they'll make some like, oh, you have nice lips. And you're like, oh, come on. Like, you know, right away what they're going for. So I think online dating is not bad, but like, maybe she should try like Bumble or some of the, like, you know, classier.
I'm a big fan of Hinge. I like Hinge.
I've never heard of it.
Hinge is an online dating app that I used many years ago. But I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of young professionals that I found. But Bumble's pretty cool, too, because it lets the female go first.
But it's also weird because men like that power dynamic, and it's kind of strange when women are doing the pursuit. You know what I mean? Like, I've noticed a lot in my, like, you know, guys like to text first. They like to...
Yes.
So I've noticed it's very, like, sometimes they lose interest, I feel like.
But I feel like maybe 50% of the guys have wrong motives. So maybe it's best if a girl just texts us first anyway.
Yeah.
I've been married since before cell phones existed.
What was that, by the way?
But I would want to be on Bumble because I would like knowing there's at least some interest on the part other than an absent-minded swipe right. Some interest on her part that she thought enough of me to text me. That would be encouraging for me.
Yeah, and it seems more like people are looking for a relationship on Bumble. But it's so weird. When I was on Tinder and I met my ex, Milos, there wasn't really anything else. Yeah. So like everyone was on Tinder. Like I'd be in LA and I'd like go on a casting. And I'm like, oh, there's the casting director. Like everyone was on Tinder, and it's changed now. There is more options. So I think you figure out what fits your personality best and what you want. And like, you know, if you want cleaner people, then try it a little bit cleaner sites.
Yeah, it's almost like there's a stigma now for people who are on Tinder, which I don't agree with.
And depending on states too, like depending on what state you're in, can be like purely like like, oh my God, if you're in Arizona, it's purely a hookup app. Here though,
how do you know that?
Friends, like it's purely a hookup app. Like for the most part, but look, any app you go on can be like a hookup app. But sure. I'm saying, you know, if I was in LA though, I don't know if that's still the case, as I've been out of the scene for like 3 years.
I have no idea if Tinder is now just the hookup app.
I don't know.
I know it's like...
It wasn't when I... Because I actually made a lot of friends that I like went to church with and whatever. Like, I made friends off of
what
Tinder.
What are you talking about?
I did. I'm serious. Because like we would go and hang out. I had one friend that I like met and we realized we had no chemistry. But then we became like best friends. We go hiking all the time. We go to church together. He would talk about girls with me. Like,
is that like your opening line on Tinder? Like, hey, it's nice to meet you. Would you like to go to church
with me? No, he asked me. But I was, you know, I hadn't been in a while. I was like, okay, cool. And I thought that was like a fun, neutral, safe public place if we're talking about safety.
That was the first meeting?
Yeah, we hung out. We went to Mosaic here in LA and hung out. And then like from then, like we went hiking and whatnot, and we're still friends to this day.
Was it awkward at all?
No. It was weird because we just right from the start we're like, no. You know, you go, no, there's no interest. Yeah. There was no spark. We just, and I'm always become one of the guys. I'm the one that you bring along and tell everyone. Yeah. Like I'm the one that like is with the group of 15 men at Halloween Horror Nights. So that was always me because I just get along with guys. So it was pretty natural that I ended up making a lot of guy friends off of Tinder.
Hey, fair enough.
Yeah.
I think for Anonymous over here, I don't think she's doing anything wrong. Like,
I think it's just life.
Yeah, it's just life. It's just the way it goes. Like, sure, there's going to be a guy at a football game who's a douchebag, and there's probably going to be another guy at a football game who's really nice. Yeah. So it's
so don't give up on the apps.
No.
Be a little bit more selective. But, have a better filter.
But I was talking about this with a friend recently, too, and it's good, like, you know, if you let people know that you're single and you have friends that you trust, like, they usually a lot of times have good taste, and it'll be like, oh, my friend, you might be perfect for them. Or, like, you know, hang out in social circles with people that you really like, because usually they're going to hang around with, you know, other good people or other people that are like your personality.
Oh, I agree. I think that's the best way to start dating in this world is being set up. You know, Tom Brady and Gisele Bündchen got set up.
Did they?
Oh, yeah. Mutual friend.
Everything comes back to Tom Brady with you.
But it's such a good story, isn't it? Like,
they're
one of the most
beautiful
couple in the world got set up by a friend. Literally, a friend was like, hey, Tom, you should meet my friend Gisele because you guys have a lot in common.
I think that happens a lot. Yeah.
They deserve the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah, honestly.
And so outside the apps, if she wants to meet somebody IRL, you're saying a friend is probably the best way to go,
right?
Yeah, I think the dating is going to be awful. It's not, and so, like sometimes you meet the love of your life when you're 5 and they're your next door neighbor, and other times you're like me and you're 35 and still wondering. But like, you know, I now have my kid and I found so much peace in just like pursuing my career. I'm not pushing it. Like, you can't put yourself on a timeline and be like, by 32, I'm going to be married and have kids. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to be open that not everything works textbook or how you want it to. And I think she just needs to take the pressure off. And if she's the one single Pringle at the parties, cool. She gets to go home at night and watch what she wants on Netflix. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's some perks to being single till someone good comes along.
At what point do you tell someone that you have a son?
I'm the one with my phone out. Like, look how cute my kid is. Like, he's my lock screen. Like, I'm obsessed with him. And he's hysterical. Like, I just got him. It was so funny. It's a Who Lets the Dog Out car at the thrift store. I don't know why he was obsessed with it. But the first thing he does when he wakes up, he goes, cool car. Like, where's my cool car, Mom? And it's just so cute. He's this tiny little body. He's looking for this massive, like, fake Escalade so he can play, like, the song, the Who Lets the Dog Out on it.
Aww.
It's
a great
cute
song.
It's great.
Yeah.
Are you currently dating now?
No.
No, not even going on dates?
Let me just tell you why my picking meter is off. I was back in Sedona, and I ran into a friend from high school that I used to be on tennis team with. And when I was in high school, he was like this tiny little thing. We were friends. Now he's like 6'2" and gorgeous, and he asked me out on a date, right? Mm. Well, during my trial, I was like, okay, well, what would it hurt to go to dinner from, like, you know, I was telling myself this. What would it hurt to go to dinner with a friend? And then I had to go because I was getting threatening text messages during my trial trying to lure me out, like with fake auditions. So I had to go. It's so complicated.
Wait. From him or his
people? I can't say who it was from, but like because I had been on a one national commercial. I was a flight attendant. So then they're like, oh, it's WME at whatever, and it's for Delta, and we want you to be a flight attendant on this commercial, right? So my agents checked it out. It wasn't legit at all, and it was during my trial, and they kept trying to get me to come to LA for auditions, and it was all Google VoIP accounts.
Oh, my God.
I have a lot of
those.
This
is insidious.
Yeah, it's crazy. So I had to go file police reports, and when I was at the police station, the police officer was like, oh, a lot of kids are still in town, and some are working on the police force. And I said, oh, well, do you know such and such? He goes, such and such, such and such, like their first and last name. I said, yeah. He goes, why? And I said, oh, I'm supposed to go out with him tonight. He goes, only because I know your situation. He says, we arrest him all the time for meth.
Oh, my God.
And then I Googled him, and he just done time for aggravated assault for a DUI.
Oh. You just pick all the winners, don't you?
I have horrible taste in dating. So I've realized that I just, and I, like, you know, I when you get burned as bad as I got burned, I'm kind of just really comfortable just waiting and healing and kind of getting the message of what happened to me out there and just not rushing it.
Of course.
I think that's what I learned, is that I talked myself into the relationship because he checked all the boxes on paper. Mm. You know what I mean? You know, everyone has those things. I was like, oh, has a job, check. Funny, check. Like, likes to go do this, or check. Like, likes the same TV shows. I don't know. Like, he checked all the boxes of what I would want in a partner in the future, and I talked myself into it. So never again.
So looking back at this relationship, you talk about how people do crazy stuff when you're in love. Do you think you were in love with him?
100% in love. Like that, and that's, you know what's funny though? I had never been in love before him. So I was like, after I left, I was like, what's wrong with me that I would fall in love with someone like that? But at least I knew that I was capable of it, because I had never been in love before then, and I had relationships, and I thought something was wrong with me. I thought, why am I always just annoyed by who I'm with? And I never, like, because they always get so needy, because I'm very independent and I'm always kind of like doing my own thing. And I'm like, you know, they want to go hang out with their friends. I'm like, cool, bye. And I like go do my thing, and I'm not texting them. And they're like, well, what is she doing? Like, they always get really, so it always, I was always annoyed in their relationship. And so it was weird, like, the first time to be, like, in love. But he was so different than anything I had dated before. Like, he, you know, was educated and worldly and had been places I hadn't been. And we could just talk for hours. And I think that, you know, I thought he was this really good person. And I, you know, the mirage I fell for.
Wow. Well, it is a compelling story. And everybody can pick up books tomorrow, right? Comes out December 4th.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great if she sold a million of these things? And just, like,
it would be amazing.
You know what? I would donate as much proceeds as I could to causes. Like, I never wanted to do this for money. I literally couldn't take the liability and make a video about it, which is all I wanted, was just to make a video and talk about it. So I started writing, and it turned into a book. And, you know, some, I think it was how it was supposed to be, because I couldn't have, this video would have been like a week long, and I probably wouldn't have touched everything.
Well, before you start donating, make sure you pay off your court fees, because that's,
oh my God. Yeah. I've already worked through a lot of that. Oh, like, good. Thankfully I've had some branded stuff that I've been able to pay down the debt and be careful.
Good.
And yeah.
Well, we certainly wish you the best of luck, and
do.
We hope it sells a million copies and you get to donate as much to charity as
you want.
That would
be incredible.
Yes, it would be. Yet again, guys, you can pick up at bookstores tomorrow, A Sucky Love Story, Overcoming Unhappily Ever After by Brittany Louise Taylor. Brittany, thank you so much for coming. We really appreciate it. And being so open and honest with your story. I know it's not easy.
No, thank you. I had so much fun. You guys are both cool.
Oh, thank you. And Brittany Louise Taylor is the YouTube channel too. People
it is.
Check that out as well.
And
that's,
it's really long. I didn't even think about that. Like, Brittany Louise Taylor is a lot to type, and like Brittany with an I, like, you don't always get it right on the first try.
If you type Brittany with an I, it'll fill it in for you.
Yeah,
it
does.
There's not
a
lot of Brittany's with an I.
It's true.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. I made my mark in my own way.
Well, big thank you to Amazon Fire. Once again, you can head to Amazon.com/iSuckPodcast to order a Fire TV of your very own. Thank you again to Ritual. You can visit ritual.com/Dean, DEAN, to start your ritual today. Big thank you to Talkspace. Guys, use the code Dean yet again, DEAN, to get $45 off your first month of Talkspace if you want to get something off your chest. And a big thank you to the Grove Collaborative. Check out Grove and our special offer at grove.co/Dean. Remember, not .com, .co/Dean, DEAN, for that exclusive offer. Brittany, thank you so much. Vanessa, thank you for joining us earlier in the show.
Briefly.
Hopefully she's feeling better after that travel experience. Mark, Easton, you guys are incredible. Guys, check out the Facebook group, Help I Suck at Dating Podcast Facebook group. We talk I read that stuff all the time, all the questions on there. It's like a big community, big friend group. It's really incredible. Everybody gives each other advice. So you can follow us also on Instagram at Help I Suck at Dating. And definitely check us out next week. We'll have an all new episode where hopefully we'll suck a little less.
Follow Help I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.